Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds kept their watch in a silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, they shone the holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill.
Christmas songs. Good morning. Welcome to Squim Community Church. It's wonderful to see your smiling eyes in person, and welcome to those of you joining us from online. I want to say a special hello to my family that joins us from New Mexico every Sunday. Thanks for being on there, guys. This morning is wonderful to celebrate the second week of Advent, and we have the Dottie family reading our Advent scriptures. So let's watch this video together.
Second Sunday of Advent, lighting of the Bethlehem candle. Today we light the second Advent candle. This second candle is the Bethlehem candle, reminding us of the Messiah's birthplace. Hundreds of years before Christ was born, Micah prophesied that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Messiah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Micah 5:2. Two candles are now lit. The light is growing stronger. Although Bethlehem was a small, insignificant Judean village, from this town would come God's own Son, the light of the world.
How it was, a silent night like any other. Heaven sent the one, one that we would call our Savior, and redemption began in a stable in Bethlehem. All of the God is with you. sleeping while the world awakened, and redemption began with a baby in Bethlehem. All of the angels lifted up their voices and filled the night with hallelujahs. God is with us now. Everyone come and join the heavenly chorus. Our Savior King is here before us. Oh, to hear the sound.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the dark.
never stop, you never stop working. And even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. And even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. You are
pray together. Holy God, we learn all about you at Christmas time. We learn all about the fact that you love us, you have a plan for our life, and boy, if there was a time that we need to know that you have a plan, that you have our very best in mind. That you are moving us day by day forward in the midst of all that we're dealing with. That gives us a great sense of security. For in those moments where we feel like we can't control very much, we know that you're always in control. That you're a great God, you're a God of grace. That in Christmas we come to understand that you became a human being. That you made your home here just like we do here on earth. And as you did, you understand the human condition, the human dilemma that we are in. That we are your children, yet we don't act like your children. Well, at least not as often as we ought to. And yet you don't pull away your love from us. You don't give us what we deserve. Just the opposite. You give us what we need. And in these days and weeks of Advent, help us prepare our minds, hearts, and souls to once again receive you, celebrate you, share you with those around us. For if there was a time when people are searching, in a time when people are in need, it's now. And you are the answer. You're the eternal answer. You're also the answer to our temporal circumstances and relationships. It's easy to lose hope. It's easy to wane in our faith in you. We're thankful that you've given us the Holy Spirit to bolster and encourage us in our weakness, in our lacking. We are thankful that when we don't act like your children, you still receive us unto yourself. That you're great God, that as we confess our shortcomings and sins to you, you're the one that forgives us. And when you forgive, you also forget. You also heal. You also catapult us forward into the plan and purpose that you have for us. As we gather in your name. We come to worship you. And as we lift you up and worship today, Father, I pray that you would lift us up wherever we are. That once again, in this Advent season, we can draw close to you. That we can prepare for your coming. And so we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Let's thank Christy and Kirk. Yay! If you're with us online and you're not up with what's going on in the state of Washington, this week we get to have two people up front. No bands, no choirs, no congregational singing. And so people have been humming their hearts out as we've been worshiping. I want you to know that I appreciate your participation in bringing items in, stocking stuffer items. For foster children, we filled 165 stockings last week through the North Olympic Foster Parents Association. So thank you for that. Yeah, you can still clap as loud as you want. Yeah, and you can dance. We have somebody dancing in the back. That's a good thing, too. I do want you to know that Tuesday morning Bible study at 7:30 will be taking place this coming Tuesday. So everybody that attends that Bible study, we've been off for a couple of weeks. We're back on this Tuesday. Children and youth are meeting virtually again for several weeks. Our schools have sent children home to take up school at home again. And so in like fashion, they too will be going virtual. They take a couple of weeks off for the Christmas holiday. And then we'll be live again on campus, most likely right after the first of the year. We are going to have two Christmas Eve services. They'll both be in this building, and yes, you're invited to come and be a part of that. We do more of a family-oriented service at 5:30, and then at 7 o'clock we do candles and communion. We will have candles at the 5:30 service, but if you'd like to come and celebrate the Lord's Supper, we will be only doing that at the 7 o'clock service. I think those are the majority of our announcements. Don't forget the mission tree. You can call in and draw an ornament from the Christmas tree by calling the church office and we'll pick one for you. Or you can just send your extra giving into the church and know that our goal is to give each and every missionary a Christmas gift. So the ornaments are upon the trees here. And in the foyer of the sanctuary building. And when it comes to missionaries, here's two great ones.
Well, Squim Community Church, it's our great pleasure to have Sandra and Adger McKay coming to us all the way from Germany. They're EPC World Outreach missionaries. I wanted to ask you, with COVID and all that's been going on, could you just briefly tell us a little bit about what some of the challenges have been this last year and also some of the breakthroughs?
Part of our theme is, hey, breakthrough, not breakdown.
I would say the challenging part was we had quite a good momentum at the beginning of the year. We'll be working with engaging displaced, that means with refugees from different countries, from Afghanistan, Syria, Iran, Iraq, and we started an international group. So that means a couple from Korea, a German lady, and we brought in some of the refugees like from Syria and from Iran. And so we really enjoyed that. And then 2 months down the road, of course, all this happened, Corona, and basically stopped us in the tracks. Despite all that, we've still been able to meet with most of our refugees, with our contacts. and haven't been able to do as much in group, but we've done more one-on-one as well to keep up the relationships.
In fact, in the last 5 days, we've been through probably the whole group between coffees and meals and et cetera, just trying to work our way through on while following the guidelines. So,
Lord, we ask that your blessing be on Sandra and Adger in their ministry. What a difficult time, but also encouraging as they see people receive Jesus Christ, be exposed to the gospel, some for the first time. So we ask that you go with them as they work through the COVID restrictions, but find ways to connect and to spread the gospel to each of these people in their unique area of need. So go before them, and we ask these things in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I may not get this right, but I want to leave you with one simple phrase. Gott segne die. Did I say that right?
Dankeschön.
Dankeschön.
Bravo.
God bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
So the McKays are our missionaries of the month, and I'd encourage you to pray for them and their ministry to displaced people in Germany. Today, our scripture passage is out of John, and we have Jennifer Gillis, our children's minister, and a few of her students reading our scripture passage.
Good morning. The children's ministry interns, Cassidy and Allie, are going to be reading the scripture along with me today.
We are going to be reading John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony.
John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth, resulting from human passion or plan, but with a birth that comes from God.
So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us."
John reminds us, well, why God came to this planet. God came to this planet so that we can find him, so that we can be in a personal relationship with him. That's not only God's message, but that is the message of Christmas. John captured that well for us in verse 14. He said, "So the Word, Jesus, became human and made his home among us." Now, that's not the only thing that John the Baptist has to say about Jesus. And in fact, in our scripture passage, he points out a few other very important things about Jesus. First of all, John the Baptist knew that Jesus arrived and he brought a great sense of change. He came so that we would know God. And he reflected that. In verse 7, he says that Jesus is the light that, that points us to eternal salvation, to the eternal purpose that Jesus came for. He is the light of the world. He is the spiritual light that everyone is looking for. And now in Christmas, it's the light that everyone is looking to. John tells us in verse 13 that he brings a new rebirth to people. Not another human birth, but a spiritual rebirth. A reflection that we as human beings, oh yes, we're very material. But there is a spirit within us that needs to be reborn. Refashioned, prepared not only for the moment, but for eternity. And then John punctuates the reality of Jesus in verses 13 and 14. And he points out with Jesus coming, now this changes the whole way that we will relate to God. Our ability to know God and to know him personally. Yeah, Jesus brought great change. A change that allows us more and more to relate to God. This Christmas season, when you think of God, well, what comes to your mind? Here's what the scriptures say, what John says about Jesus. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Wow, in this COVID time, that's a great statement to hear, isn't it? God is faithful to us even in difficult times. And no matter how challenging things are, that will not thwart God's ability to love us, for us to feel his love, to engage in the love of God, allowing that divine unconditional love to fill us and wash over us in our times of challenge and difficulty. Well, maybe you can relate. When it comes to God, I believe we do want to relate to God. One of the things we learn in Christmas is God is not far off and God is not uncaring. So many other world religions would say that, well, there might be a supreme being, this universe up there, but it's far away. And the universe really doesn't listen very well. See, that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says that God is close. He is right here. And he's not an uncaring God, just the opposite. He's a God who is very faithful to us. He's a God who loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally. Well, can we relate? I know we want to relate. The truth is there's a little dilemma in our desire to relate to God. And that dilemma is, yes, we are created in the image of God, but, you know, we don't act like it all the time. God is holy, and well, we know that we're not. We have our shortcomings, we have our sin. And those are the moments, even though we're created in the image of God, we don't act like it. Even when we're children of God, isn't it true that sometimes we don't act like children? Oh, wait, maybe it's because we are acting like children. Just not the children of God. And our sinfulness has created the dilemma in our ability to connect, experience, relate to God. And God understands this. He knows that we fall short, as we read in the scriptures, of his glorious idea. Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned, and we fall short of God's glorious standard. I think everybody can agree with that. We understand how well Jesus lived on this planet. And the more we know about Jesus, the more we know that, well, we fall short of Jesus' example. And it's interesting that that worries us. In some people, it even strikes a fear. It gets us backing up from God instead of moving in, getting closer, enjoying that love that he has for us that John talks about in John 3:16. Here's the insightful truth about human beings created in the image of God. Proverbs 14:12. There is a path before each person that seems right to them, but instead it leads to what? It leads to death. And it's true, if we don't resurrect as the scriptures say, then we're all going to just taste of death. And that is our lot in life as human beings. We are physical human beings. And the physical part of who we are will one day die. And Jesus has come to tell us that we can spend eternity with him. That spiritual side of us, well, that lives for all eternity. And would you agree there's part of you that's, well, it's not physical? Your personality, your God space inside of you? Remember, a few weeks ago, I talked about the passage in Ecclesiastes that God has put a yearning in each of our human hearts, our souls, to want to connect with him. And perhaps that's why people are so drawn to Christmas, so enthusiastic and so involved in Christmas, because they too want to welcome the Christ child to their life. Yet as we begin to do that, as we size that up and bring that into focus in our life, we realize that we're in a dilemma. That God is holy and, well, we're not. That we fall short of his glorious ideal. That we understand that there's a path that we've been on and we think that's the right path, at least the right path for us. Yet as human beings created in the image of God, God has a path for you. And that path is not just a path for you, it's a path for all of humanity, John tells us, right? God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's the goal in Jesus' coming. Yet our sinful dilemma, our being all wound up in ourselves, all focused on our own ego, well, that causes us to fall short. That causes us to become very frustrated in our dilemma in wanting to be with God and experience his love, yet that's not happening inside of us. And that's the reason why God sent Jesus, his one and only Son. Jesus, we learn at Christmas time, is the solution to our dilemma. Now, at Christmas time, we learn the front end, the backstory of the story. in the arrival of Jesus, and then we learn about his life, and we understand that his mission coming to this planet was to give his life for us. He is the solution to the dilemma that we feel at Christmas time, that we're not in, we've not connected with him, or we're not as close to him as we would like to be. Now, the great thing about Jesus being the solution to our sin dilemma is that it isn't about what we do, it's about what's been done for us. Jesus comes, he makes a home, as John said. He makes a home among us. He lives just like we live. And yes, it's a miracle. How is he totally human and still totally God? I haven't figured that one out yet. I just know that as I read the narrative of Jesus, it has to be so. He's not a human being that appeared to be God. He's not God appearing, masquerading as a human being. No, he was truly human and truly divine. And because this infinite, transcendent God chose to become finite and dwell among us, he is the solution to our problem. Now, what I love about Jesus, it's not about the doing for us. It's what has been done for us. Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Well, we're all into great gifts right now, aren't we? And isn't it great to know that the greatest gift of Christmas is Jesus? And yes, although he came for everyone in the world, he has your name on his gift. He not only comes with a desire to love everyone, but he definitely comes here to love you. I love the fact that it's about what Jesus does for us, and, well, it's not left to our own devices. And then when Jesus comes to our life, it changes because now we have an unconditional love instead of a conditional love. Oh, as loving as we try to be as human beings, there's limits. There are limits to our love. Our love wanes for one another. Yet God's love for us has no condition. He just loves us, sinner or not. And his greatest love in terms of our sin is he wants to forgive us. He doesn't want to make us pay. He's the one that pays upon the cross. And so at Christmas time, we rejoice at the fact that God gives us what we need instead of what we deserve. We don't need any more punishment, do we? No, what we need is love. What we need is grace. What we need is mercy and care. And that's exactly what Jesus came to give us. To show us, to give us a living example of what God's love looks like and feels like. See, at Christmas time, it's not about giving, it's about receiving. And don't misunderstand me. God applauds, God enjoys, God smiles when we do what he directs us to do. When we help those around us, when we encourage people, when we stand against injustice. When we do, as a few people have done already this Christmas season, help someone out, adopt someone who has less. Random acts of kindness. It's interesting to see in the oppression of this COVID time how people are stepping up and beyond it. And it doesn't take a lot to be Jesus in this time. It doesn't take a lot to encourage and help someone around us. Because whenever we give, we're modeling what Jesus taught us. What we know is right and meaningful inside of us. It is a gift to receive. It's not something you have to do. It's just something that's done on your behalf. So with Jesus coming to the planet, that changes the way that we relate to God. Now, how do we relate to God? How do we relate to a God that has bridged the gap between God and us? A God who's created a great and wonderful and eternal solution to our dilemma in life. A God that connects us through His Son. Well, it's just the ABCs of Christmas. A, we need to admit that we haven't let Jesus into our life. We haven't let God into our life, and I stated it that way for a reason. I think sometimes we hold God at arm's length. Oh, He's given us signs. We've heard Him call to us, yet we're not too sure that we want to let Him be the leader of our life. We're thinking that the way it is to be a human being, that means that I get to run my own life the way that I want to run it. And I guess my statement to that is, how are you doing? How are you doing at running your own life? And I'm not saying that you haven't had successes or you haven't done very well, but well, everybody has a moment. Everybody has that path that they thought was the right one for them, and they run into a dead end. Or because of the challenge and difficulty of life, they make a right-hand turn when we should have made a left-hand turn. And now what do we do? What do we do in this dilemma? Yeah, God has called to us and we really haven't listened to Him calling our name. And Jesus is a free gift of salvation to humanity, but He's also your personal gift. He's a gift that has your name on it. And we have to admit that we haven't responded. Or we have to admit that we initially responded, but you know, we're not letting God into the whole house here. We'll let Him in, but we don't want Him looking around at what's going on in our house. And we might let Him have a seat in the front room. But I'm not too sure I want to take Jesus out to my workshop or to my bedroom. And heaven forbid that He would see the closet downstairs where I've thrown all of my sinfulness and all my bad feelings and bad behavior. I've been trying to hide from that and run for that for decades. So we have to admit we've not let him in. We haven't responded to him. Here's what the Bible says. Look, I stand at the door of your life and I knock. If you hear my voice and you open the door, I, Jesus, will come in. And he'll come all the way in. He wants to lead and direct and inspire and encourage all of our life. Our hanging out time, our work time, our vocation, advocation. Everything from the boardroom to the bedroom. And you'll notice as you read the Bible this Christmas season, he has a lot to say about every facet of your life, even that deep, dark, cluttered closet where we've thrown all of our bad emotions, all of our bad behavior. And we fear letting Jesus in there, but, well, if you want healing, that's where real healing comes. It comes by letting Jesus in and letting him sort through the brokenness and the dependency, the faults, the failures, the miscues, the bad decisions. And I can tell you what he says. Every time he pulls something out of that closet, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Be healed of this. Never venture this way again. Why? Because he came to this world to love you, to give you what you need. Not what you deserve. See, it's done for us. It's not about our doing. It's just about our yielding and surrendering. And so if we can admit to one another that we haven't let Jesus in, we haven't been listening, or we haven't let him in very far, then what we need to do is we need to believe that turning our lives over to Jesus' direction is the very best thing that we can do. Listen, we the disciples are here to proclaim that through Jesus there is forgiveness of our sins. And forgiveness is always really what we need. In some relationships, it's the most difficult thing to receive. We've made a mistake. We've gone our own way on our path, and we've realized that was just a stupid thing to do. And oftentimes we don't come back around to it and admit it because we're afraid we're going to be punished, and the world is good at punishing us enough. In fact, we're very good at punishing ourselves. And so Jesus doesn't want to punish us. He wants to forgive us. Because nothing sets us more free than the forgiveness that God gives us. Why? Because that's the greatest sin of all humanity, is that we've sinned against a holy God. And he didn't come to this planet to rub our faces in it, just the opposite. He came to forgive us and bless us in exchange for us our broken, sinful way of living to a whole life, not only now, but for all eternity. Well, we have to admit before we believe. And as we believe. C, we need to confess, or we need to receive. Here's what Paul says about our confession of him. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, your leader, your director, you will be saved. And I love the simplicity of what Paul says. As I've studied other world religions, it's interesting what they require you to do before you're in. Before the spiritual, eternal thing happens to you. Well, the God of the Bible says, I've come already. I've done for you what you need to have done. So it's not about you doing anything but confessing. Praying, asking Jesus to be the leader, the director of your life. And when we've truly believed him in our hearts, then the outward expression of that is our confession to that reality. See, we say it to ourselves every morning when we see ourselves in the mirror. We belong to Jesus. And then as we feel a little safer with that, as we go around talking with those that we believe really love us, then we tell them, you know what? I belong to Jesus. Jesus is the leader of my life. And that declaration is so profound, we even find ourselves sharing that good news of Christmas with people we don't know very well, or we don't know at all. Romans 12:2, let God transform you into a new person. You know, we try to buy a new version of ourselves on the internet all the time. I'm like you. I get on there and I start shopping, and I'm always looking for things that will improve my life. What we really need is not anything we can buy. It's not even something listed on Amazon. What we need most at Christmas time is to allow the love of God to permeate our mind, heart, and soul. What truly transforms our life is something out of this world, and it is. It's a God that's out of this world, that's come to this world. And he is the Lord of the universe. He's the creator of all that we have. The only question is he our Lord? Is he our director? I pray this Christmas season that you would let Jesus a little further into your home. I pray this Christmas, if you've never confessed and believed in him, that you'll admit, that you'll believe, that you'll confess. Let us pray. Jesus, we're so thankful that you've come and that you've come to our lives. And in your coming today, you know the challenges and frustrations that we face. You know that as human beings, what is happening not only around us, but what's happening in us and to us. And if there ever was a time we could use some miraculous things, it's this Christmas season. And Lord, we know that Jesus, you coming to this planet changes everything. It changes the way that we relate to you. And as we relate to you honestly and openly, and we confess our sin to you and confess that you are the Lord of our life, that changes and transforms everything. It can transform and change everything inside of us. Lord, this Christmas season, help us to put off our old nature and put on the new transformed nature that you have for us. Lord, we need it. Jesus, we need you. We are thankful for your love and for eternal life. Amen.
You love us. You're with us in the good and the bad, in every situation, in every season. And we just thank you. Thank you for being God with us. You are such a loving God, and we just thank you and bless your name this morning, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks again. again for being with us. It was wonderful to see you in person. And I just pray the Lord blesses you this week as you walk closer with him and know how much he loves you.